Now, just before we get back to the next item, we've been on to Dublin City Council about what you told us there earlier, Paul Murphy, about a family being offered a tent when they were looking for emergency accommodation. Their office has categorically said they have never offered a tent to a family, and they say that they would like to get details, further details on that family so that they can check
yeah,
on them.
I think, and she'll be happy to talk to you yourselves, yeah.
Okay, we'll get those details from you later. Okay, now it might be news to most listeners that the International Summit on the Societal Role of Meat took place in Dublin over the last couple of days. Minister Martin Hayden, climate activist, called this summit a national embarrassment in the context of the climate crisis. You launched it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this was research that was carried out by very eminent scientists, both here in Ireland and internationally. And I'm surprised by the pylon and the attack in terms of it, because we need to have a balanced debate here. We are dealing with really complex issues. When we talk about, you know, the future challenges we have of feeding the world and feeding our growing world population with high nutrient food, but also being able to produce that food more sustainably into the future. And, you know, if we're to achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goal of zero hunger by 2030, global agricultural productivity is going to have to increase by 28% over the next decade.
But not meat production.
Not meat, exactly.
But in terms of when you talk about food production, you have to talk about the nutrient element of the food that's there. So, you know, like Professor Alice Staunton made a point at the conference that, you know, if we pursue zealotry, ultimately, you know, vulnerable people will suffer, particularly women and children, because in poorer areas, red meat is a key component part of that. So, look, ultimately, what we have to do is here, we have to make sure that our food is produced.
So are you saying people who suggest that we need to, you know, drastically reduce the amount of red meat we are producing in order to meet climate emission targets? You're saying that that's zealotry.
So what I'm saying is that the world population is going to grow very, very significantly, as we know. That world population needs to be fed. We have a very, you know, our pasture-based system here in Ireland is a very good system. 90% of farms in Ireland have a livestock element to that. We have to produce that food more sustainably into the future. And the answer and the focus of that has to be on science and technology. Farmers and Irish farmers are on that journey. But if you take the likes of the west of Ireland, where, you know, our climate and our land base is very suited to livestock farming, that's the key component of that rural economy as well. But this food does need to be produced.
Okay, and just to be clear, you do produce beef in your own farm, do you?
I do, yeah. Yep.
Tell me about what the Dublin Declaration is.
So that is where there's a number of, you know, scientists signing up to that declaration that meat, you know, is a really important part of, you know, the solution into the future in terms of food. You know, like we can't kid ourselves and think that that the whole world will go meat free in the next number of years and that will solve all of our problems. We have to have a balanced debate here. We have to recognise that we have to get the balance right in terms of producing that food more sustainably in the future.
Did you sign the Dublin Declaration, I presume?
No, it was the I just launched the I opened the event. I wasn't, that was the researchers that were signing that, not me.
OK, I want to bring in Oisín Coughlan, now Chief Executive of the Friends of the Earth. Oisín Coughlan, are you a zealot?
I don't know. I think we're in worrying territory if sort of basic science is being described as zealotry. I have to say, I do find it really kind of disappointing and sad and embarrassing that we're having this conversation again and again. I mean, the basic science here is really pretty simple. Livestock animal production is the most polluting and one of the least efficient ways of generating nutrition and calories. And our diet, particularly in the rich world, is unsustainable in this way. If everybody had diets like the rich world in terms of how much red meat we eat, we'd need four planets, and we don't have them. Livestock agriculture, between pasture and growing crops for agriculture, for those animals to be fed on, is 3/4 of our land, but only 1/5 of our calories. You know, the science, the broad-based science is very clear and has been repeated now often. The big Lancet study showed we need to move to a more plant-based, not a meat-free diet, a more plant-based diet with more fruit, veg, legumes and nuts. The IPCC, the big hundreds of scientists that do the big review of climate science said this year that reduction of excess meat consumption is amongst the most effective ways to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and has a high potential for environment, health and food security, etc. So, and indeed, the UK Climate Change Council said that we should be reducing meat consumption in the rich world to allow more space for those who might need more meat in the diet in other countries. But we have been eating too much red meat for too long. We eat more than we need, and it's more than is healthy in the rich world. And it's time to shift our diet to allow space for others and to reduce emissions fast enough to contain climate breakdown.
What about, and I should say, I mean, as the Minister pointed out, there were scientists who addressed this conference as well, making different points. But one of those points was that meat is important to developing countries as a source of nutrition. And for that reason, we meat production should be supported.
But no one is suggesting that we end all meat production, for example. And no one is, and in fact, say, for example, that Lancet study is saying in order to allow those countries to eat more meat and to depend on meat, we need to cut our consumption here because we can't all have meat-based diets at the scale we have here in Ireland. It's a bit like our consumption generally. We consume far more than our fair share of the Earth's resources when it comes to pollution, and we need to provide space for others. We are far more pollution per person than the average Kenyan or the average Indian, and we need to reduce our emissions as we have promised to under the Paris Agreement in order to stay within the planetary boundaries and prevent the sort of floods we see in Pakistan and the drought we see in the Horn of Africa. That's what's really threatening food security in the Horn of Africa,
okay.
and that's been driven by climate change. Nobody in the world is going hungry tonight for a lack of Irish beef and dairy.
Okay, can I just ask you then about the argument that we hear a lot, and I'm sure the minister is, it's on the tip of his tongue as well, that it is better if beef is going to be produced, we should be producing it here, where it's done in a more sustainable way on grass, rather than leave it to the likes of Brazil, where we know that meat production there is on feedlots. It's a major cause of deforestation of the Amazon.
Well, for a start, our own production is getting less sustainable, not more sustainable, more polluting. We saw this year we had to import grain from the Ukraine in order to feed our animals this year. The first ships out of the Ukraine weren't going to feed the Horn of Africa. They were coming here to feed our animals. So our current production system is not sustainable, even at the moment. And no one is saying we should cut down the Amazon to have more beef. We're saying we actually have to reduce our beef consumption globally, and particularly in the rich countries.
But Oisin, we have to produce the food where it's produced most sustainably. So, our pasture-based system here is a much better location to produce that meat produce. And, the argument that's been put forward here is that we go back to a protectionist state, that Ireland just produces enough for itself. That's the way Ireland was in the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s. And I remind you, we were really poor.
The government, we don't produce government enough for ourselves, though. We import more calories than we export. And we export for commercial purposes.
That nutrient-dense food is produced by Irish farmers is needed around the world, and we produce it here better off our pasture.
We're exporting baby
system.
Powder to China. Look, let's get real. The government are gross hypocrites when it comes to the issue of climate. I sat yesterday in the Climate Change Committee with a series of young climate change activists who were speaking about their activism, speaking about what needs to change. They were met by the government parties with patronising, pat on the back, you're right, we agree with you, etc. But literally at the same time, the government is promoting meat production. Like, even the government itself is completely inadequate, but in their own targets, they've agreed to 25% reduction in carbon or in greenhouse gas emissions from agriculture by 2030. How is that going to be done when 70% of those emissions are methane emissions linked to livestock?
It's going to be done based on science.
The science and
research that we were discussing in this conference.
You're not going to do it
methane
unless
that are coming
you reduce
on the, market.
Okay, one voice, I'll let you
of cattle
back in
that we're rearing in
That's
this
simply
country.
Simply lazy narrative.
It doesn't work for our environment. It doesn't work for the people in the Horn of Africa who are starving as a consequence of this, and obviously many other factors, the industrialised farming model. And it doesn't work for farmers in this country.
Katie,
the majority of
our
whom are
farmers
poor,
are
the majority of less than €20,000 a year, and should instead be paid and incentivised to engage in regenerative farming model and paid for their services for
okay,
for our
I'll let you back in a minute, Minister. But Marion Harkin?
All I can say is, imagine if you were a farmer listening to this, hearing people telling you're destroying the planet. I mean, how are you going to get up in the morning and go out and look after your cattle, your sheep or whatever? I mean, sustainability is what all of this is about. And we can produce food more sustainably here than in most countries. If you look at the recent Chagas sustainability report, the actual amount of emissions from the production of milk is down. And yes, Paul, we do export baby milk formula to China. If we stopped in the morning, a whole industry along the border, north and south, would collapse. So, I mean, we need to look at this as well. But we also need, and I absolutely agree, to look at the science. And more Irish farmers are coming on board and they are dealing with the issue. You know, the idea of feed additives that can make significant difference to the amount of methane that's excreted. And it is biogenic methane as well, which is different from the methane, let's say, that when I drove here today or whatever to get here. And saying that Martin Hayden shouldn't promote Irish beef anyway and sustainably produce
but
Irish
Marion,
beef.
But Marion, can yes. I put to you that there is an issue with there is tension between meat production and climate goals. And surely that has to be acknowledged here.
There is tension, and that's what the science is trying to deal with. That's what science is for. That's what innovation is for. It's to find ways and means to do certain things that don't damage our planet. We have innovation when it comes to looking at alternative forms of energy. The same innovation needs to go into food production. We see what has happened when our energy supply is cut off. We need food as well. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Okay.
Change is needed.
Oisín Coughlan.
Just to say, I mean, that conference this week, like it wasn't a balanced, comprehensive discussion with specialist scientists from different areas. It was very much a very small subsection of meat scientists, some of whom with connections to the industry, effectively advocating a position of not, you know, denying responsibility for their sector and saying and seeking to delay action in their sector. And I thought we got beyond that rhetoric.
Were you invited, Oisín Coughlan? Were you invited to the conference?
No. I don't think any environmentalists were invited. And it wasn't a broad swathe of Irish or indeed international food scientists or agricultural scientists. It was this particular category of meat scientists. So it was people who already had decided what they thought, galvanizing their perspective and including this view that any other perspective was zealotry and simplification. We do need a broad-based and balanced debate, but the science is clear. We have to eat less red meat in the rich world in order to live within our carbon budgets. And it is disappointing that the Irish government is still seeking to promote what is effectively an unsustainable form of diet and to export that around the world. And we're hearing again today this talk that methane isn't as bad as other gases. Mm-hmm. Again, that's not what the science is.
I did not say that, Oisín. Do not misquote me. I said biogenic methane is different to methane from fossil fuels, and that's correct.
But not on its impact on the atmosphere, and the evidence is that you reduce methane even faster.
But the production of biogenic methane is different. You know that. But it has roughly a 12-year cycle.
Yeah, but then it turns into CO2, and for the time that it is methane, it is 30 times more effective at trapping heat in our planet. That's the problem. It's worse than carbon.
And that's why farmers are reducing their methane output from their farming enterprises, and we are investing heavily in science and research to develop those
emissions
feed additives
that will make
those changes. We've seen a reduction this year in the amount of fertilizer that's been spread.
No, but we're not seeing a reduction in emissions, Minister.
No, but we will. We will. And this is the challenge. Because of the science and the innovation that's been put in place now, that target of 25% is a really ambitious target.
Is this not just another version of what various Brexiteers were saying would solve the protocol problem? That we'll have magic science will come along. We won't have to worry about it.
Absolutely not. If you look at research programs that my department invested in 5, 6, 7 years ago, in the area of multi-species swards. We now see multi-species swards being integrated into, which means the farmers use much less artificial fertilizer.
When will the emissions come down?
That has become much more practical in the coming years. Like, we have the roadmap now to 25% reduction between now and 2030. But what we have to do is the significant task that's ahead of us, for all of us, is to provide nutrition and food security for a growing world population without using more land, and reducing the level of inputs and lower the impact on the environment.
Can I ask you who else can
do that, and Irish farmers are well placed to deliver
just
on that.
Really, I know. Am I right in saying Mairead McGuinness, the EU commissioner, your colleague?
Yes, I opened the conference
and Mairead closed it. Was there other government?
To the best of my knowledge, I didn't stay for it all. I opened it on the morning, and Mairead was there closing it the following evening. I'm not aware of any other politicians around.
Katie, one practical question for Martin. He said there's been a reduction in fertiliser use. That's great. Can he make sure, can he guarantee that won't go back up again next year when if prices fall or if the situation changes in Ukraine?
Well, so
there's a target to reduce emissions, those fertiliser use. If we can lock in those gains this year, that would really help.
Of course, and that's what we're working hard to do. We have our climatised roadmap that has to be renewed now with a higher target of 25%. But farmers are on this journey already. We're using low-emission slurry spreading, the use of the likes of the multi-species wards and the other measures. And to paint them with the simple sound bites that Paul and others have come here
not
attacking them.
But you're incentivising farmers to engage in industrial live beef and dairy farming.
Are you going industrialise? This is the family farm model. 130,000 farmers around this country
who contribute vitally to the rural economy. Can I finish here?
Yeah, one voice, please.
We instead need to guarantee farmers a living income. They don't currently have a living income. Small farmers are struggling. It's only the big dairy farmers who are benefiting from the current model. We need to recognise we have a biodiversity crisis in this country. 70% of all wildlife populations have collapsed. 70%
and we have the new acre scheme. We have 1.5 billion euro of carbon tax money that's been ring-fenced to support farmers in environmental measures.
We can pay farmers to engage in regenerative agriculture instead of paying them to engage in industrialised beef and dairy farming, which is bad for them, bad for our environment.
We are intervening and supporting farmers to farm more sustainably, environmentally friendly into the future.
Farmers want to earn a living. Mm-hmm. They're businessmen and businesswomen. And Oisin is right. We need to lock in the fact that ammonia emissions are down significantly. But the cost obviously has driven it. But people now are finding alternative methods. And in that way, the war in Ukraine has had that positive impact, if you could call it that. But I mean,
Marianne,
businessmen and women, they want to produce and they want to earn a living. And certain production could be carbon.
Okay, Marianne Harkin, I just time is so against me.